I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, our school of prayer, let's just continue learning how to pray. And over the last few, the last two meetings, I'm happy with what we've been talking about. And that's the issue of purification. And that's to let us know that if things are right with us, things cannot be wrong outside us. I hope you're getting my point here. The strength of the things that are against us outwardly is determined by how weak things are inside us. Last time I spoke extensively, I described the man Balaam, and I'm very happy the way we went about it. So the next time you see any person telling you that witches are dangerous, tell the person, what do they know? Compared to what Balaam knew, they do not know anything. If anybody tells you that you know, people are in cults and are doing things, ask the person, what do they know? They should go and learn from Balaam. All right? He understood. And at the end of the day, Balaam, in all his understanding, he said, there is no enchantment that's possible against Jacob. A divination doesn't work against Israel. And he was talking about people that had an inferior covenant to what you and I have today. What covers us now is not the blood of bulls and goats, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? That's the precious blood of Jesus. You remember that we looked at it and we counted about 28 animals that were sacrificed so that they could utter a curse against Israel. Seven bulls and seven rams. It did not work. They did it again. At the end of the day, the same conclusion. Because this is not about intensity of effort. It's about whether it is possible or it is not possible. You're getting my point here. So I've looked at that. So we are not on the same level. So let's get that clear. I don't know. I keep on saying this thing. I hope I don't sound like a broken record, you know? Saying the same thing again and again. Going over the same spot. But this is a fact. The fact that you have problems in life is not a sign that somebody is casting a spell upon you. It is not a sign that you have a generational curse working in your life. Christians can have problems. There are three reasons Christians have problems. One, ignorance. Two, the just recompense of reward for disobedience. If you are not working according to divine precepts, you will have problems. And then three, there's what the Bible calls the trial of your faith. If you were stealing before you stop stealing, you will go hungry for a few weeks. Just so that the Lord can separate the people who are really genuine in their faith from those who are not. That's how, like we say in English, to separate the men from the boys. That's why you have problems, all right? It's very important. You know, there was something I taught on Sunday, that was last Sunday, when I was teaching in Makurdi, and I explained the principle. I mean, I really enjoyed that message. Now, one of the things I taught, okay, very important, that faith has, in fact, I was looking at two sides to faith. That people look at faith as something you use to get something from God, but there is what I call the demands of faith. Faith has demands. Faith has demands. And if you're not doing those things that are the demands of faith in your life, all right, you will hinder the expression of what God wants to do in your life. That's just the way it works. All right, faith has demands. You know, we were reading, Jesus said that the sons of this age, they are wiser in their They are wiser in their own generation, all right, compared to the sons of light. And I explained something there, that you see a man who does not know God, who does not believe in any other thing apart from what he can do. You see the way he goes aggressively, all right, for things. He's very aggressive. 5 o'clock in the morning, he has woken up, he has gone about his business. He cheats people, he doesn't care. You know, when I'm watching Shark Tank and Damon John starts talking, Damon John will tell you that you have to be greedy. You have to be greedy. And I just shake my head. That is because he has nothing beyond what he can see. That's why he tells you, you have to be greedy. Somebody like Kevin O'Leary, all right, who's a very rich man, all right, the guy is very wealthy, but Kevin O'Leary, call him Mr. Wonderful. He tells that, look, all I care about is money. And he says it publicly, all right? And he's very, very, he's not ashamed of it, that all I care about is, will my money make more money for me? My money loves me. My money are like my children. That's what he tell you. That's what he will tell you. But you see, why does he behave like that? All he knows. So Jesus said, can you see the dedication they are going after what they know? That's the dedication with which they are going after what they know. He said, but the children of light, what do they do? Instead of using that same dedication to go after what they know, they will go half after what they have, which is the word of God and prayer and faith. Then they'll use the other half to ask Kevin, can you help us? Use the other half to ask a demon, can you help us? You see Christians doing launching and inviting unbelievers as chief launcher, embarrassing the God of the universe, the God that cannot supply. Are you getting my point? Just be embarrassing him anyhow. Chief launcher in a church is a man who steals. They'll go behind and say, that man is a thief, but you see, we are going to collect money from him. And they don't realize that that man will never be saved. With people like you, they will never, he won't be saved. You have not told him that your God is bigger than him. I told a story once, happened really in Benin. The church wanted to do a program, a launching, a harvest, whatever, they needed money. They now sent a vision card to different people. And they sent a delegation to a very rich guy in Benin there. The man sat down when they came to his office. He looked at the card. A church. I should come and donate money to your church. No, he was clear about it, and I like him. In fact, I felt like I said, gosh, save him for that statement. Forgive his sins for that statement. He told the people. He opened his drawer, brought out his shigdis, all those small gods and goddesses, and put them on the table. And said, please, oh, guys, may I check him. Yusef, check it. Check this matter. Be a judge. Say, these are the gods that have prospered me. Why should I take their money and come and give to your God? When I heard that story, I said, God of miracle. Now, I was so happy for my brethren that a non-believer has shamed them. That in your life, you won't try it again. You get up in the morning and go and beg. And the man showed you, listen, I worship Ogun, I worship Popatala, I worship Amadioha. These are the things I worship and they are blessing me. Your God can't bless you. Your God wants my money. Tell your God, if he needs money, he knows what to do. Of course, even if they give you money after that, if you take her, you go die. You will fall down and die. I'm telling you, you die by fire on the spot. That kind of money, the man has already prophesied for you. You still collect it. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So faith has demands. Faith has demands. There are times faith will tell you, listen, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. You say amen by faith. God says to you, I say amen by faith. And as part of that, King of Sodom comes, say, don't take anything from him. So what I'm trying to say is that, so you find out that faith has demands. Many times, there are times you will go hungry as a demand of faith. There are times you refuse to use the connections you know. That's the demand of faith. All right? I'm just trying to say that, listen, Christians, sometimes they have problems, but these are the reasons why they have problems. It might be because they are not meeting the demands of faith. Yesterday, I taught us on that Sunday. I talked extensively about faith that does not save. You should get the message. I preached it on Sunday. I talked about faith that does not save. Many people think they have faith, it's not saving. James, look at that, your faith, it doesn't work. And the person that's sitting down there confessing, you'll find from that James chapter, was it chapter 1 or chapter 2 we read? James chapter 2, all right? We read it. And when James was speaking, he said that, listen, many people claim they have faith, they know how to prophesy, but the faith is not working. How do I know? James said that, what good does it do when you say to a brother, be warm, be filled? Those are prophetic people. But he said, but that faith does not save. There are people who are operating by the kind of faith that does not save. These are the problems. It is not because people are under a curse. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Don't follow people who help you to fight your enemies. You will die first. I'm not joking, no. Listen, I found it. That's a matter of fact. People always fight their enemies. They usually die first. They die first. The enemies will look and say, I don't know. The guy was always fighting us. We're looking at him and watching him. So he uses all his energy. He's tired. Anybody leading you on how to fight your enemy, how to identify those who are pursuing you, is leading you to destruction. That's not supposed to be a joke. What true prophets, what true pastors do is help you build yourself up in faith. Help you build yourself up in Christ. Help you recognize what God has made you to be. You still going to village to go and break us. Don't say I didn't warn you. God done the count. You've done three now. The fourth one. If you come back in one piece, it will be mercy borrowed from your neighbors. Your own mercy don't finish. God has to beg one or two neighbors. Pray for him. Because otherwise, he won't come back from that village. Human beings can be stubborn. They want to cover all bases just in case. Just in case it's a sign of unbelief. Do you hear what I said?
Yes.
Let's just pray that one, just in case. It's a sign of unbelief. It's a sign that the word you claim you believe, you don't believe it. When you are doing just in case things. Your mother has sent you something to put under your pillow before you sleep. Please put into the fire. Don't fall for those funny jokes they crack in Western Nigeria. I don't know about in the East. They say, Adora Okpoju, that prayer can't be too many. That is, you pray the one for church. Afa, come, join. They send you something, you put it under pillow. That kind of prayer, they can too many. I hope you are getting my point here. If listen, make up your mind. You want to follow the word of God, follow it. Next time your mother sends you something, so just put it here. It's a reverend father that prayed over it. If you put it there, all the prayer you prayed in church is not working again. Please, if you're not around last time, get that message and listen to it. I emphasize, don't worry about Balaam. Balaam is afraid of you. Balaam doesn't like your trouble. Balaam, we said, represents all kinds of occultic powers you are afraid of. All kinds of sorceries you are afraid of. That's what Balaam represents. Don't worry about him. And what I want to tell you today is don't try and join things. Did you hear what I said? Don't join things. You come here, learn the word of God. You buy books, learn God's word, teaching you about Christ. Then your mother now calls you and tells you, there's a prophet that can help you. If you go there, you have negated every other thing you were working on for the last 1 year. If he shall turn back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Don't do just in case. Because all these just in cases, you understand the English there? All this just in case you are doing is wiping out your faith. That's what I'm going to emphasize. And without faith, God can't move in your life. When the Lord said men ought to pray and not to get tired, he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Start doing things that wipe out your faith. He sends you cloth to put under your pillow where you want to sleep and you put it. Have you noticed you've not been sleeping well since that time? Your dreams have increased. Hey, that dream is not revelation. It's confusion. Does it was that night I began to dream and I saw all the people disturbing me. You have been lied to. The devil is just confusing your soul. Nobody's disturbing you. You are the one disturbing yourself. I don't have time to carry your matter and start talking to you. I would have proven to you that the one disturbing yourself. You can't say seven things without two of them being lies. And you see somebody is disturbing you. One day, a relative met me and said, Banky, have you heard? I said, what? They have found out that they found out that woman is a witch. I was looking that day. I said, now, wow. Who said it? That prophet. That man is very powerful. I said, is that so? That prophet does not know. When you say good morning, we have to look outside and see whether it's actually morning or is the moon shining bright. When you say, buy this one. This is the one made in Nigeria. It's a lie. It is the one made in China. You are getting my point? That prophet did not see all of this. What he saw is that your neighbor is a witch. The days in which I'm angry with the prophet is gone. I don't swear, they won't swear for them. It will catch them later. You know what I mean? Do you not understand that English? I pray their own prayer against them. God will scatter them later. But now my anger is with Christians. You are the one begging to be deceived. Liar. You know, dishonest Christian. Fornicator, adulterer. And you say, which is pursuing you? They got you long ago, just don't know it. They are not pursuing you anymore. You pursue things you have not caught. You are walking in your iniquities. He says they are pursuing you. They did not pursue you. They are cooking you. You are looking for who to deceive them. I was talking with my wife the other day. I said, thank God I'm not a contract prophet. Yes. That's why I don't pray for strangers. That's one thing about me. Strangers, no. One day one woman called me. She happens to know, she knows me directly. I go to their church to preach once in a while. Then she knows my wife. So she got my number from my wife and then she called me. Please, pastor, I want to come and see you. What is the matter? One of my friends needs to talk to a pastor. What is the issue? That he's coming to town now. He's coming to town. Oh, he's not even in Enugu? No. Do I know him? No. Have you spoken before? No. Yes, I attended your church. Not my church, I'm a pastor where I used to attend. I said, okay, doesn't know the pastor of that church. Go and meet him, not me. He said, please, he wants to talk to you specifically. I said, lie in Jesus' name. No. I won't agree. She was surprised. I said, listen, I don't talk to people I don't know. I don't pray for people I don't know. I said, I'm sorry. One day, I said, please, oh. My answer is no. I am not agreeing. That's some of you here, if you have had that experience, when one of our sisters said, please, I want my sister to talk to you. I said, I'm sorry, your sister cannot talk to me. You, I can talk to. You, I can teach. You, I can join hands with you and pray for your sister. But your sister can't talk to me. I am sorry. I won't pray for her. I'm not a contract prophet. I teach Christians how to stand their ground in Christ. I don't know where you are coming from. This is how pastors get into trouble. I'll not be going at night, which is without pursuing me to. Start dreaming all your bad dreams. Why did Paul tell Timothy, don't lay hands on anybody suddenly? People have come here before, I want to see you. I say, you want to see me? Do I know you? No. Have you come here before? No. This is your first time? Ah, you want to see me? Thank God for Okemute uncle. So go and see Okemute, he likes you. I'm not seeing you at all. Why? Because it's not this contract praying that solves problems. When he said, the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. It is not the anointing of the pour on your head. No. It means you have become fat. Those days when we first married, the rings we married with, they have gone away. That the ring has been broken because of the anointing. You know what I mean by that? I look at my wedding pictures those days, I said, now, wow, hallelujah. No wonder the ring doesn't fit again. That's because the ring has been broken because of the anointing. It's fatness. The literal Greek word is the brioche shall be broken because your neck will have become fat. Spiritual size is what breaks the yoke. You build it up as the word is entering you. That's why I don't do contract praying. Most who do it are not real preachers anyway. Businessmen. They were telling me about a man of God that will tell you, listen, I come to your house to pray I don't have time anymore. If you want to come to your house, if you have up to 500,000 naira ready as offering. And apostle, do you know what? Some people are still inviting him to their houses. Now, why am I talking like this? I think what I just want to do is to get Christians to understand that they are not serving a weak God, a joking God. God is not the opposite of the devil. It's an insult. God and the devil are not fighting in your life. All those pictures they used to draw, since Jesus pulling you like this, then one guy with two horns pulling you on the other side. It's not true. Jesus doesn't do such things. Jesus doesn't have time for such a joke. I don't die for you. I don't finish. Yeah, that's all. I died for you. That's the end of it. See what is said to the church? I stand at the door and do what? I knock. Co. And I wait outside. If you open the door, I will come in. If you don't open the door, I'm going away. I say, no, this is my own. Devil, you can't have him. Jesus doesn't pray such prayers. He does not do such competition. They are not mates. You know, people don't understand this God we serve. Thinking of the devil. And they'll be competing over your life. No. It is you and the devil fighting over your life. Are you getting my point? You are the one deciding whether you will obey God or you will not obey God. You are the one. In fact, you know that fellow that Joshua met when they were scouting around Jericho? He said, are you on our side or are you against us? What did the fellow say? What did he say? He said, neither. When I was a young boy, I was like, what kind of human being is this guy? Or spirit? You're supposed to come and help people of Israel. They say, are you on our side? He said, I'm not on anybody's side. You mean you don't know whether you are with Jericho or you are with Israel? And you say you are from heaven. Get behind me, Satan. Even Satan will know which side he's on. But later on, of course, we grew up and learned. We found out that the guy was saying, you know what he was saying in effect? I don't take sides with human beings. Anybody that comes to my side, I don't know whether you get my point. I'm not the one taking sides. It's you that should make up your mind, the side you want to be on. If you follow the counsel of Balaam and start sleeping with the girls from Moab, sorry, you have gone to the other side. I will kill all of you. That's it. If you decide to obey God and do what God tells you, then fine. The walls of Jericho will come down. What am I going to say? Stop thinking that the devil is fighting and that God is fighting on the other side. No. You, personally, make up your mind which side you are on. If you're on the side of God the Father and the Son Jesus Christ, you're automatically bigger than the devil. You don't need a prophet to come and pray you out of under the clutches of the devil. The devil gets respect too. Did you hear what I said? Yes, he has respect. He knows. They asked him, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yes, we looked at him with a telescope. And we discovered the things that you kept around him, so we kept off. I hope you are getting my point here. That's what I said the last time. Please, let's forget all these funny, funny prayers. Christians still jumping around looking for prayer contractors to pray them out of under a curse. Be sowing, oh, Christians have wasted money. Be sowing seeds that are dead on arrival. It says, sow a seed for the redemption of your household. They will bring money. Sow a seed so that poverty will be broken in your life. They will bring money. Sow a seed for the breaking of the curse over three generations. I saw one brother. He said, I have given up my television for the first generation. Then he came. I'm not joking. Then he came for the second generation. Oh, hey, look. Maybe the only thing he found left in the house, as an example. Maybe the only thing he found left is cooking pot. Cooking pot for the second generation. And they reach church, look church, waiting remain. Now shirt, come on shirt for the third generation. You just be looking and say, Jesus. I like you, you're laughing. You call Jesus, call Jesus. Eh? You know, the kind of thing Christians do, it's as if they smoke. You know, I saw one joke yesterday. I laughed and laughed. They showed two guys smoking India hemp. I forwarded to some of you guys. One of them said, the other guy said, man, when I was small, I fell from a two-story building. The other guy said, Jesus, you die? I was saying, man, I don't forget, don't take. Honestly, that's exactly how Christians behave. As if we smoke. They're not thinking straight again. A man said, go and bring a seed for the sin of three generations. That is the sins of your father, your grandfather, and your own that's disturbing you. So you sow a seed to break it. Listen, think about it. If you were Jesus, wouldn't you kill somebody? Insult. All this dying on the cross. Okay, just go and call Mel Gibson to show you the passion of the Christ. Just watch it. So this could not pay for the sins of 1725, 2000 generations. It's your money that cannot, 400 of it can hardly buy $1. Is what we now pay. Now, wow. Lord have mercy. Why is it that when God has set people free? You know that the problem with freedom is that when God says somebody, listen, you are free. Is it like that? Say yes. They will go home. He said, no, that cannot be the real Jesus. Because if this salvation was complete, it would be more expensive than this. So they will start again. Paul will have to write them, oh foolish Galatians. That's what happened to the Galatians. Freedom in Christ. They said, no, it can't be that easy. So what do we do? All the boys, we have called the urologist. Tomorrow is circumcision. All the men queued up for circumcision. After that, they look. That's not enough. We are going to fast for 40 days to show that we are serious about repentance. That's not enough. They now look and say, for all the years we were sinners, we will serve God equivalent. The man gave his life to Christ at 40. So he has 48 of 80. He's still paying for sins. God doesn't even let him finish. At the age of 48, God just kills him. Say, let that guy go. It's too stupid to remain around. And I'm not joking. And if God starts attacking Christians for the kind of insults they are giving him, I'm not joking about it though. It won't go easy. No, it won't be easy. Praying for things that God said should not be a major prayer point. Somebody will gather outdoors and say, this night is a night of breakthrough. So you will pray from 10 o'clock to 5 a.m. because you want to buy a car. Men who even win presidency don't pray that long. I'm not joking. You see, when I look at what Christians do, the Lord is good. Please listen to our city. Okay, we brought it from Port Harcourt. The one who preached in Port Harcourt, set free to stay free. The CDs are available. That's just 2 days' message. They are quite long, but 2 days. They are also on MP3 CD. How did I go into all of that today? How many of you were coming from Babalawo's house? I know you don't think it's Babalawo. You think he's a prophet. He wore a suit. All over town. All kinds of evil prophets will come to your house, be seeing vision for you. Some people have driven their wives away because a hungry man says she's a witch. And God said, for driving that woman away, I will never answer your prayer again. Isn't the Bible like that? You dealt treacherously with the wife of thy youth. So, salvation is far from some people, though. Because a number of people are against them. The false prophet is against them. The wife that was with them, false prophet enticed them to push her away. Second person against them, wife. Third, God is now angry because they drove the wife away. Can you imagine? False prophet, wife, then the worst of all, God. Now, you yourself, check out. What hope do you have if all these people are conspiring against you? Many men are walking around the street like that. That's their problem. I know I love those false prophets in quotes. They are the hardest taskmasters around. All the money you earn, they collect. They are adult men that can't spend money until the pastor tells them how to spend it. You should know your brain is in your bum bum. You are sitting on it. You need to collect instruction from a pastor on how to spend your own money. Your father-in-law should retrieve that girl. You are not big enough to marry yet. Your father-in-law should collect his daughter back. A man. You need another man to be telling you how to live your life. You should know you are in bondage. You're not free. I don't care who the guy is that's leading you up and down. You're not free. Some people actually pay pastors to be praying for them. Hey, Omo. Which man never see? My wife told me one day, of one woman she met, said when she was sick, they said to her, there's one man of God that can pray. Okay, who doesn't like good prayer? Good prayer is good. Why are we here? It's not prayer we came to pray. And learn to pray. Now contacted the man of God. Sweetie, how much was that, the cost of the prayer? The asking price. Was it 1.5 million? Yes, asking price was 4.5 million. Negotiable, terms and conditions apply. They begin plea though, okay? You know, they take 200. What kind of man of God do you think I am? Please, no disrespect meant. Please, we only have 200,000. Okay, if you can make it 500, we'll pray the prayer. I'm not joking. They negotiated up and out till they reached 600,000. My wife said, did you pay? Yeah, you know, when you are sick, all kinds of things. They pay though. You may be doing, how can? Just make sure you have not started small. Because you own only 5,000, you don't think it's the same thing. How many seeds have you dropped with offering basket because you have problems? You think it's different? Oh, is it because that one is 600,000? What is the difference between that one and your 1.5 that you put in to connect with the prayer? I look at you looking guilty now. You know, one of the greatest, ask my wife, the greatest thing I thank God for all the time is freedom that I have in Christ. I don't give money to anybody to buy any prayer to sow. I don't sow any seed. It's against my religion. Seed sowing is against my religion. Anything I want, I ask the Father. If he won't give it, he should keep it. He's the Father. He's the Lord. He's the King. If I beg him, he not release him. That's the end now. So do you have it now? No. Why? We ask the Father. He said no. So let's sow a seed. Omo. Anything you take out of his hand by force, it doesn't bless you. I'm not there. Say, listen, I will show you some keys. We will praise him until he changes his mind. Say, I'm not there. We will worship until the blessings are flowing. Say, me, I'm not coming. I'm serious about it. I'm not doing any worship to collect any blessing. Don't worry. You're not the first to think I'm strange. That my wife married me, the Holy Spirit has to possess her. Because she thought I was a dangerous one. She told me that you are the strangest Christian I've ever met. So don't be angry that you are feeling like this. But she hasn't completed 17 years. She has lived very free. I told him about my bat story. Bat appeared in my bedroom. I carried and threw it away. Will you pray? Me? Pray over bat? God forbid. And that day I told my wife, I said, you are blessed too. If you are a mountain of fire pastor's wife, oh my God, Father, Kalagodozu Gobolo Duza. Your fire prayer because of an animal that flew past your airspace. You go, they release called missiles. Come on, Christians, you are free. Amen. I know I'm talking to some people who came here this evening. I didn't have you in mind, but the Holy Spirit said, go upstairs, let that man deliver you with the word. Have I laid hands on you now? I don't even know your name. People are saving money because prophet's money must be complete. Say, let's eat. Say, no, the prophet will arrive next week. Around next week, the money is 150. We are gathering it. Listen, true freedom is in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You tap into it by knowledge. Once you've given your life to Christ, you tap into that freedom by knowledge. That is when Jesus said to you, I have set you free. You say, amen. When prophet said, let me set you free, say, I'm not in bondage. Those who are in bondage can go and meet the prophet for the freedom they are looking for, but you are not in bondage. I hope I'm clear. What we are supposed to do as believers in Christ is simple. Constantly, now back to where we were. Constantly purifying our lives with the word of God. Like Pastor Okemute was praying earlier. It's with the word. It's not any other thing. It's as the word of God is entering you, is transpiring by it the spirit of God into you. It's changing you. Many of the situations of our souls, our hearts right now, cannot receive blessings. It can't. So God said, okay, how do I do so that this fellow can be blessed? I send my word. It will heal his heart, change her heart. It's that transformation that brings you to the place where the blessing can be released into your life. That's why, look, you are not manipulating God. Like a seed sowing. What am I sowing seed for? Listen, I'm sorry to say it like this. It's very painful, but it's a fact. The one you are watching on TV, so see, the people are trying to raise money. That's a matter of fact. They're not telling you the truth. They are trying to raise money. Let's say this is the way they are. So I say, how can that man be lying? He didn't start lying. It's poverty and confusion. That's how it began. So don't let anybody make merchandise of your soul. It's in Christ Jesus that you have been set free. It's in Christ Jesus, that's the point I'm making, that you have been set free. It's not what you are doing. Christians, we give. Are you getting my point? Why do we give? Because we are givers. By virtue of the Spirit of Christ in us, we are givers. So we give. If you demonstrate for me a worthy cause, we give. Now, say Christians to give, they say they must have a reason first. As you are giving it, you ask God what he should do for you with that seed. That is a lie. Jesus never taught it. Paul never taught it. Philip, James didn't teach it. Peter didn't teach it. All those people that taught us the word of God, but haven't heard it from the mouth of the Lord Jesus, they never taught it. The only thing they said is, if you need, go and ask in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, ask and you shall receive. Your joy will be full. If you want to give, you be a giver. Like I said before, every Christian must be a habitual giver. Some of these people here, only out there. Thief. I won't mention your name. Oh, madam is sitting down here. Maybe on one part of the hall. One thief wanted to collect her car. She drove for a program. Apostle Mute Mute. Man begins to see word of knowledge. I see a car. The number is CX144MUS. If you are the owner, come forward. The Lord said, put it at the altar. It's not his fault. If I see the car, I go prophesy. If I show you the car, you too, you will prophesy. Thank God she had the strength to resist. But many people are falling for it. As one man I heard of, why am I talking like this today? I don't know. Why am I talking like this today? One man I heard of, man of God. This was... No, let me say, so that deliver people, they will stop being afraid because a man wears his suit. The one I'm telling you, this really happened in Enugu here. This man of God, he went to another man of God and said, please deliver me. He's a preacher. He said, why? He went and joined the people that use familiar spirits to give words of knowledge. So, I mean, the man did it for him. The familiar spirits follow him about. When he's preaching, word of knowledge will be flowing. Fake word of knowledge. There's a genuine one. But they not do the fake one. And then he said he'll go to preach. There's a time he went to preach. He drove 3 cars back in a convoy that he got from those things. He said now he's tired of the word of knowledge. Because the spirits, when they want to run you mental, they know what to do now. Yeah. Familiar spirits. Say, nobody you won't hear word of knowledge. Nothing spot. I said, I'm going on the road. They say, hey, that woman never bath. Nobody define the word of knowledge. You'll be going on the road, they just say, that car in front is about to jam. Next you go hear Bosa. Ah! See, word of knowledge. Ah, you will see today. By the time they fill your head with predictions and familiar spirit operations, you'll be telling you everything about everybody around. You can't concentrate on your life again. So he came to my friend and said, sir, please, I need deliverance. Now, if I tell you this, it will make you laugh. Spiritual things are interesting. I don't know why I've not released my book, Worship and Sex Control. That book, I've written it many times, but it's just half finished, half here and there. That man said, usually when he finishes those meetings, an overpowering urge to sleep with the harlot comes over him. These are the things that started pushing him to look for deliverance. I told my friend, I said, he can't be delivered. He said, why? I said, because he still does not want, he doesn't want to let go of the things that are flowing. Deliverance, he doesn't have to pray. Nobody needs to lay hands on him. Just stay in the home and say, Father God, I am sorry. Then burn the cars. Don't give anybody. Drive them into the ocean. Tear the clothes. Burn the house. Go back to nothing. Be zero. I say, Lord, please, can I get a job somewhere? Let me be serving mercy. You know what they call serving mercy? Carry pong pong. If you are willing to do that, you'll be free. But no. He wants somebody to pray for him. The spirits will leave him. Then he'll keep the cars. Only. 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 The devil will say, well, we'll leave you, but this motto now our own. And it is our right to stay in your house. As long as this car remains, evil spirits shall not cease. That's it. So please, don't be impressed. People going around. There are plenty everywhere. It's money everybody's making. It's money they are making. And you claim you are looking for deliverance. Don't go and join. That's what I'm saying. They will donate spirits to you. You were sleeping well before. They tell you, please be waking up at 3 a.m. to pray. Just know that you are being led astray. The Lord is good. Apostle Mutemute, let us preach our message for today. That was for 2 or 3 people or 1 person. But God sent you for, I don't know your name. Don't come and say, Pastor, is it my husband that reported me? I don't know. Please, oh, please, please. I won't even answer. And if you report yourself to me, good. I will now use it to preach next time. I will now call your name that time. So better go home and don't come and congratulate me afterwards. The Lord is good. All right, let's get back to our message. What have we been trying to preach? I began this by explaining the fact that the extent of God that we can experience and manifest is to the extent that His perfection is manifested in our lives. So what do we do with our prayer? We use our prayer to purify ourselves. That's what we do with our prayer. We don't use our prayer, you know, to be pursuing enemies or fighting the devil. The devil is too far beneath. He's inferior. You get my point? To us. So we don't use prayer on him. I say, devil, devil, devil. You cannot say that I will not succeed. He knows. You get my point? It's beyond the size of his mouth. He's beyond the size of his mouth. So don't go ahead fighting him. Purify your heart so that you can handle success. Purify your heart so that you understand the purpose of success. What do you call, in fact, even defining success alone is a matter of prayer. Yeah. Say, Lord, help me to understand what true success is. That can be 1 month fasting and prayer. Doesn't mean you don't eat at all, but just means that every time you are meditating, Lord, what is success according to your word? Scripture will be flowing. You'll be reading. You'll be listening to messages. And the Lord will start telling you, my boy, my girl, success is not what other people think of you. You will say amen. Say, my boy, my girl, success is not the amount of money that you have. Success is not, you know, and there are many scriptures. The church was there, very rich. Jesus said, listen, don't mind them. They are very poor. They are not successful. That's just the way it is. You see it, he said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. You know that's not success. A massive investment so you can retire early, you know it's not success. Because there was a man who did that. Jesus called him a fool. So that's not success. Are you getting my point here? So we are seeing the things that are not success. It's not what people think of you. You know, people think of you. Look at everything that is outside, big, massive. You have done it. Say, is this not Babylon the Great, which I build with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty? God says, look at another fool. Are you getting my point here? So you know that is not success. So people look at people like Mark Zuckerberg. Say, shh, you don't know. Are you getting my point? You don't know. You don't know. Ah, people like Bill Gates. God says, shh, shut up. You don't know. Oh, people like A. Adeboye. God says, shh, shh, you don't know. You don't know. Just because some people are spiritual, don't think. He said, this man has done this, has done this, has built universities, he has built churches. God says, shh, you don't know. Occupy with this until I come. When I come, all right, to judge you, I judge you according to what I give you, not according to what everybody thinks about you. Are you getting my point? It's important. So, I mean, that one alone, you are learning something. They can take a whole month, sometimes a whole year. At the end of the year, of praying and fasting, God teaches you what success is. Next time you start praying, the things you were praying for before, they've left your mind. You start realizing that success is it's only what God called me to do. What did he give me? So suddenly, your prayers have been changed. You're not praying on what did he give me? Because he said, occupy with this until I come. So Lord, what did you give me? What did you give me? Success is not living in a good country. That's not what success is. There are people who still look... They look at him and say, I finally got my American visa. And they look at him like, oh, mo, you don't hammer. And when I see people like that, I'm like, are you all right? Are you living in this century? People come to church, praise the Lord. And we pray and we pray. Finally, the visa has come. Question, where are you going? What is the purpose? The visa doesn't mean anything. It can be a passport to early destruction. There's one very famous Nigerian musician. All right? Was a successful musician in Nigeria. He was singing and send down the rain, and the Lord was pouring rain, prophetic. Send down the rain. And one day somebody said, let's go to America. You see, when you're in Benin, he was in Benin, from Benin went to Lagos, all he was smoking was Igbo. And the Lord said, don't worry, your brain can handle Igbo, there's no problem. And then he went to America, and boys gave him crack. By the time the guy went for a course of crack, his head cracked. Boom! All the rap, you see, sometimes you're making noise. All the rap he was doing, all the reggae was singing. See, when you get to America, you must understand something. Some of those black boys, they were born singing. Some of you, when you were born, it was, nyah, nyah, nyah. When they were born, it was, that was how they cried. They didn't even cry this, your rubbish cry. Their cry was rap. They were scratching with their throat. I'm telling you, that's how they were born. Who like Tupac? You think they learned how to rap? That's how he talks. It's like Worry Man cracking joke. It's not cracking joke, he's talking. Worry guy, he doesn't cry. You are the one that's laughing. The guy is talking. When I first entered university that time, guys go talk, we go like, what did he say? And my wife will tell you, one of our friends married one worried babe, you know? When we're just gisting there, our other friends will be laughing. And the girl is not cracking jokes, so she's just talking. One day she wanted to say, it doesn't matter. She said, forget, you not make. You one day almost fell down with laughter. This girl wanted to say, it doesn't matter. She just said, it not make. In the same manner, here you go, America, some of those boys, you see the way they walk? It's rapping steps. Their sagging is rapping sagging. In the same manner, what you call reggae is a Jamaican's way of talking. Airman is not song, it's talk. It's like, say, presence, sir. You say, Bob Marley, airman. The guy is not singing, he's answering presence, sir. So when he says on the album, so what I'm going to say, you now go to their midst from Nigeria, say you want rap. They go, look, you see, what do you call that one? You rapping? Or is that Nigerian language? My Grish Dell. They asked cocaine joint for the guy. Broke complete craze. People have seen him recently. He's an old man now. Literally walks the street and begs for money. No, that's not a joke. One day somebody sent a picture, saw him, photographed him. Who would believe? He's like two-faced of today. So imagine in 30 years' time, they're telling that, say, they see two-faced of Otukpo. They sit down and they beg for roasted yam. You know, you're going to like, no, it's not happening, it can't happen. Then you say they see, Peace Square for Nature, under the bridge. You know, you're like, no, in Jesus' name it's not true. In Jesus' name it's not true. That is exactly what we are dealing with now.
Yes.
Why? Because somebody lied to him, say, go to America. So there's no success anywhere. There are those who have gone to America, they have succeeded. Listen, one day I was listening to this guy talk. What is his name? Julius Agu. And he made some statement, of course, I didn't hear the other side of the story, but let's just stick with his own side of the story. That he was the person that called people like Don Jazzy to come back from London. If Don Jazzy sat in London, there's one song I heard him playing. I don't know many of his songs. There's just one I know. Is it the one that sang Doro, Buji Doro? This,
yeah.
You know, this song, it has a lot of rhythm, but only makes sense to us in Nigeria here. Believe me, they say one day, EFC had to call Don Jazzy and say, what's going on? Don Jazzy banked 2 billion naira in cash, and he's not a politician. That is, EFC had to call, say, bros, explain. 2 billion naira in cash. Don Jazzy has so much money on Facebook, people will greet him. Your boy is hungry, he will send you 50,000 naira. He doesn't know you. You just sent a message on Facebook that say you never chop. Hey, listen, if he had stayed in London there, it's true. Let nobody lie to you that success is in America. Forget that nonsense. God can bless anybody anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere. God can bless and lift anybody up. I'm talking about what to do with prayer. So you pray first. God said, listen, hey, oh boy, okay, relax. This waka up and down. It's not what success is. One of the things my wife and I have been discussing in the house in recent times is how to cooperate with grace. Please, when I want to teach Ecclesiastes, please pray for me ahead so that I will have grace to teach it. And please be present. You will see that when people want to succeed as believers, God just says something to them. Listen, find what I want you to do. What is that thing? There are two things you find. One, the skill you have, the ability you have, and then two, you may not understand that fully, but I just put you in a place and say, do work here. Be busy till I come. Anytime I say this, many people don't understand. God doesn't want Christians to have ambition. He wants them to be faithful. He will personally take them from one spot to the other. You'll be in a place for some time. People say, what are you doing? After a while, God opens a door. You will know it's time to enter that next phase. You cannot think by yourself of what God wants to do in your life. You can't. I pray we'll follow God and let him just use us to demonstrate things.
Amen.
Yes, just, no, let's, look, forget all these rubbish books you read. 17 steps. First, be connected to the boss. Two, kneel down for the boss. Three, give tithe to the boss. Four, 9,999 of those who do it out of 10,000 fail. But you won't know, do you know why? They can't write a book. All those principles. Most people who follow them fail. But you will never know. Do you know why? They can't write a book. When you have failed, who will buy your book? In fact, where you want to write and put? Who will print it? Please, read the book of God and follow what he's saying. That's what I'm going to emphasize. So when we are praying, that's the first thing about prayer. For us to even know what is success, where is it? Sometimes it takes him years to explain these things to people. And believe me, that is what prayer is for. Prayer is, Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things out of your law. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Fill me with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That is prayer you pray every day, every morning. This morning I got one, Apostle, I got a revelation today. I quickly wrote it down. from Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 11, verse 3. He said, by faith we understand that the what? Suddenly, my brain stopped. By faith we understand. I said, we don't understand with common sense. So. We don't understand with experience. So. It is by faith we understand. I said, God. It is faith that helps us understand what is right to do. It's faith that helps us understand what our lives are about. It's faith that helps us understand what God wants in our lives per second. It's not other people's experiences. I suddenly, do you know, Apostle, he said, by faith we understand. Suddenly I put pause there. I said, all the understanding of what you have in life must be based upon what you have seen from the word of God. That's why I said, read your Bible. By faith you will understand how to do business. Not by what Bill Gates wrote. If God has called you to multiply money, by faith you will know how to do it. Ah! You know this scripture, heavy. I just said, by faith we understand. I said, pause. I read it again. By faith we understand. I said, wait. So we don't understand because of what worldly teachers say. We don't understand because of experience. We're not understanding because of desire. We're not understanding because of natural intelligence. It is by faith we understand. I said, Father, please, that's prayer. Father, in the name of, by faith, I claim understanding. I receive understanding. What is my life about? I receive understanding. That's what prayer does. That's what God is doing now, like rearranging us until the time when, listen, that's the point. He can pour through us all sorts of graces that he wants to point to the earth. That's what we now call success. That's why I said to Joshua, one of the earliest scriptures I learned, said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, so that you will be able to observe, you'll be careful to observe all, to do all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous. And you will have good success. The word inside you translates into success outside. That's what it is. What do we do with prayer? That's what we're talking about. It's for this personal purification. It's to get ourselves into the place where we understand exactly what God wants to do in our lives. Or what God is doing. That's what prayer is. Let me say that again. You can have problems in life. Anybody can have. Paul actually was a master of problems. When Paul wanted to explain the proof that God called him, he did not say, when I began this ministry, it was just my wife and I, and my younger brother, praise God. But right now, as a sign that the Lord has done what he proposed in our lives, hallelujah. Now we have branches in every major city of Nigeria, Africa, and Western Europe. Hallelujah. North America, we have branches. We have two private jets. Say amen. And last week, I was just looking at my bank balance. I said, oh, look at this poor kid that was born in the hood. Right now, my bank balance, just cash at the moment, was $17.5 million. Somebody shout, hallelujah, the Lord is good. Paul said nothing like that. Let me prove that I'm called. It's how many of you, they don't throw inside gutter. That's how Paul was proving his calling. He said, I've been shipwrecked how many times? He said, 48 hours I was floating because ship broke inside the ocean. He said, I've gone without food. I've been exposed to cold. I've been exposed to dangers. He said, not only dangers from enemies, but from false brethren. He said, these are the signs. If you think I'm called, check it. How many people, after going through all of this, they are still standing calling themselves apostles? That's what Paul was trying to say. It's all the people that you are following. If their car is spoiled, they will say, God, after my tithe, refund. That's what Paul was saying. Paul said, but look at everything I have gone through. Despite that, the word is producing your lives. He said, even though I look poor, but have I not made all of you rich? He said, yes. Looks like death is working in us. We're always having troubles. He said, but in you, what's working? Life. He said, what is it? What else do you need to know that I'm called? I saw that man living life. And he will This is the interesting part. He will never take up an offering. Nothing wrong with offering. And he said it. Nothing wrong with offerings. He said, but I decided to forego of my rights. He stood like that. At the point, I rose, everybody has departed from me. Nobody's with me. Please bring me John Mark. He will help me. After I had been in ministry for many, many, many years, by that time, bishops, his mate, had houses in Abuja. They had in Lagos. They had in Enugu. They had fleets of cars. Are you getting my point? He was saying, everybody has departed from you. Please bring John Mark. He's of good service. Thank you for sending Epaphroditus. He has really helped me. Oh, thank you for the money you sent. But I'm happy you sent money. It's not for me, it's for you. That's what he said. He said, I'm just excited because of the fruit that I know will accrue to your account. He said, as for me, if we don't send the money, I'm the same. I can bear abundance, I can bear lack. I can do all of these things through Christ who strengthens me. That was what Paul said. And to him, that was a mark of apostleship. It's not the quality of his shoes. These days, who's an apostle? Shiny suit. I'm not saying shiny suit is bad. In fact, I'll wear one day just to prove to you I have nothing against shiny suit. That's not a sign of apostleship. I hope you're getting my point here. So what am I saying of this thing? So don't come and harass my soul because you have one or two troubles. The man that downloaded all these revelations for us, he said that was a sign of his apostleship. That was a sign of his apostleship. Nepal will take like 2 times, we'll be comparing to America. No, it's true. It makes me laugh. We'll be comparing because of Nepal's switch light. You know, one day we're coming from Makurdi. I just started laughing. And you guys said, what's funny? You know, because we'll go to Makurdi, drive like 4.5 hours, you know, get there. You know, those days it was even evening, but now we leave 5:30 in the morning, get there, preach for 1 hour, 1.5 hours, and then drive back. When you get back home, you just want to lie down. Then if you call me such times, forget I won't answer you. I don't want to talk to you. I want to sleep. I just want to lie down. So one of them were coming back. I just started laughing. You know, I was laughing. I just want to say, well, you guys are suffering. You are really doing ministry work. I said, you call this ministry work? What are we complaining about? The drive, not the trek. What are we complaining about? The drive. Inside that time, Toyota Sequoia, fully air-conditioned. AC works without interruption. And they say, you guys are really doing ministry. Why is I start laughing? I just remember Paul in the Bible. I said, if we complain, that guy will be somebody. He's on. What do you call traveling? You go reach one city, they will block him, say he's not coming out. Kill him. Then they'll use basket to drop him. Our own, the ministry is with honor. One day we saw a policeman. In fact, many times when we were a policeman, he said, stop. I just wind down. Please, I'm rushing to catch this church service. He said, are you a clergyman? I said, yes. Oh, carry on, sir. I said, the Lord bless you. You know, honor. He saw a policeman one day, Federal Highway Patrol officer. He looked at me when I spoke. He looked. He said, sir, may I know you? When I said, well, it depends. I said, I'm a university teacher. I'm a pastor. Once I said, he completed. He said, Pastor Banky? I said, yes. He screamed. When I told him that, you listen to World versus World on radio? He said, yes. I said, that's Pastor Okemute. He's like, this is a good Sunday. And you want to complain that you are doing ministry? In Paul's case, they say, this is Paul. The man who troubled it. The man who troubled it. Oh yeah, kill him. Kill him. But our own is with honor. You step down, everybody's, they bow. Pastor has come. They want to carry your bag. And you say you are doing ministry and you want to complain just because you have to drive distance. Not trek distance, so. Drive, air-conditioned drive. Stop on the road to buy roasted yams to eat. On your way back, you buy all the food basket of the nation. Orange, yam, potato, everything. You load the boot, watermelon. And I say, we are really doing ministry. Well, that's how I was laughing that day. I said, Paul said, you guys are enjoying, man. Jesus didn't share this inequality. Paul will say, man, they slap you 2 times. You know whether you are called or you are not called. Why do you think everybody is jumping into ministry now? There's so much honor. Yeah. Yeah. Our biggest ministers in Nigeria all fly private. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not here to say it's wrong. If you are going to private places, you have private offering, private money. People are waiting for you privately. Come on, you go private jet. That's why all these small, small boys are now coming to collect familiar spirits from Ghana. Yeah, it's true. They go to Ghana, go to, be ordinary. When you see all these traditional healing doctors in Nigeria, Yoruba men, there's a reason. They go to some corners of Ijebu, you will see spirits. They've all gone there to collect. Now wear suit. If God wants to eradicate all of them, he turns the thing to persecution. They start beating pastors. All of them will say, I'm not born again. I lie. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Muslim. What is it? But because there's so much unknown with it, everybody's keen off. I told myself, I don't want people to put my face on poster again. I'm tired of it. All you need to go is to go to Port Harcourt. You feel like a charlatan. Last program we did in Port Harcourt, they put posters all over time. I was feeling bad. See me smiling like a fool. You know? I was feeling bad. I was feeling bad. I said, no, guys, next time, just remove that photo. Just put my name. Put the topic you want to teach. Those who know, let them come. Because when you get this, all kinds of people, some of them who are killing witches annually, they're all over the place. That's why they've all queued up for it now. There's so much honor in the ministry. Anyway, by the way, so Paul, he didn't see all this, your distress as problems. He saw them as signs of apostleship. He will come to a country like Nigeria. Maybe he goes back to the U.S. He said, what are you doing? He will tell them how many nights mosquito chopped him for supper and then continue breakfast on his body. He says, it's a sign that I'm caught. So he will say, no, not, these things are too hard. Can you imagine? Go to America now, go to London, go to Australia, go to South Africa. Power is constant. What is he doing in that country? Paul said, my mosquito best bite marks. It's a sign of my apostleship. Yes. Hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Listen, you are a winner.
Amen.
Despite the distress, you are a winner.
Amen.
The devil doesn't have power over your life. Amen. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. God didn't give that one to him. He doesn't have it. He's just a tempter, a deceiver. And then last of all, he's an accuser. You can't do them on the first two. The third one, his mouth is closed. That's what it is. When he tries to deceive with the word of God, feed yourself constantly with truth, with prayer, not just study now, with prayer. Feed yourself with the word of God all the time with prayer. Father, give me that thing we declare all the time is very important. I am being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of that, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. It's very important. You declare it all the time. Say, Father, fill me with the knowledge of your will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And make it a habit to study, to listen to the gospel, so that you will not be deceived. There's a blog I posted this morning actually. You know, I tried to explain the issue about the fact that Christ is the way you interpret scripture. Without Christ, you can't understand scripture. Many people have interpreting scripture with Israel. Prominent ministers using Israel to interpret scripture. That's wrong. You will get far, but you won't get far enough. The reference point you use determines the amount of revelation that can come out. Yes. All these men that build everything around the rebuilding of Jerusalem, they are not up to half. They are not getting up to half. So since 1949, is it 1945? You know that's the story. They are not getting up to half. The reference you use is what determines the amount of revelation that comes out. If you use Israel as a nation to interpret scripture, you will get to understand a lot of things, but you will not get up to half mark. You won't be on zero level. When you are using, I was listening to one man today, he was mapping Israel, mapping everything. I just shook my head. I said, sir, I love and respect you, but in this area, you come short. You don't interpret scripture with Israel. You interpret scripture with Christ. If you're using Israel to interpret scripture, you will get a lot of things. Remember, there was a man who even knew about Jesus, but the Bible says his name was, what is his name? Apollos, right? He came, the Bible says, was preaching powerfully and accurately the things of Christ. Listen to this. Being acquainted only with the baptism of John. As good as he was, Priscilla and Aquila were looking at each other. Yeah. Honey, what do you think? The boy is all right. Sweetie, what do you think? I think the guy is doing well. Not too bad. Boy doesn't know so much. What did he say? What? That's almost blasphemy, but let's leave him. Leave him. And then they say, our brother Apollos would like to talk to you. You powerful minister. He said, but do you understand what you said here does not fit here? Uh-huh. What about this? He said, wait. What's your foundation? He said, I listened a lot to John the Baptist. Oh, you do. You did. The Bible said they took him aside and expounded the things about Christ to him more accurately. His problem was that he was acquainted only with the baptism of John. Listen, your reference is what determines what you can decode out of Scripture. All these my big brothers that build Scripture around Israel, around the Jews, is sad. You read, Apostle, let's leave that one. That one's for another time. What am I going to say? Listen, with prayer and everything, God starts, you interpret Scripture with Christ, interpret your life with Christ. You can have problems, but for goodness sake, interpret it from the perspective of Christ. You are setting yourself up for permanent victory. That's it. You are setting yourself up for what? Permanent victory. You are too big for the devil. You and the devil, you are not in the same class. Stop pushing him around in prayer. It's not your prayer point. The curse is not what is disturbing you. It's the building up of Christ in you that is necessary for your manifestation. Let's rise to our feet. Let's close. Let us thank him. Let's thank the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Please just thank him for his word. It's so important. Say, Lord, thank you for Christ. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for Christ Jesus. Thank you. For that freedom that I have in him. Thank you. Just thank him for it. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. Say, Lord, now I know I'm free again. I'm sure that I'm free. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I know I'm free. Say, in this life, I will manifest the grace of God. I will manifest God. In my character, I will manifest God. In the work of my hands, I will manifest God. In my relationships, I will manifest God. I want to declare the word of God again. Like I said, that we're closing. That's at the end of the message. That's understand that's most important. Let's declare it again. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you for the spirit of wisdom.
Thank you for the spirit of wisdom.
Say, Lord, fill me to a greater measure. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of revelation. The spirit of understanding. About Christ. I receive it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's declare God's word again. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Say, the word of God is delightful to me. It enters into my heart. It transforms me. It heals me in every area. It makes me more and more like the Lord Jesus. Say, I am a child of God. His DNA is in me. I am manifesting his glory. I am manifesting his goodness. I am a reflection of his character. Say, I am not of the devil.
I am not of this world.
Say it again, I am not of the devil. And I am not of this world. Say, the things of this world, they are passing away. But my life is in Christ. And Christ is in God. Say, my life is in God. So I endure forever. I endure in Christ forever. Say it, I endure in Christ forever. Say,
I have victory forever.
I am seated in heavenly places forever. Say, God is my Father forever.
God is my Father forever.
Jesus has paid forever.
Jesus has paid forever.
I have been redeemed forever.
I am being saved to the
uttermost.
Say everything negative,
every work of the flesh
is being washed out of my life.
Say every work of the flesh,
every work of the flesh
is being washed out of my life.
Say the word of God is entering my heart.
It is delivering the Spirit of Christ to me.
Say Christ is in me.
Say it,
Christ,
He is in me.
And that's the hope of glory.
Say it, I'm not under any curse.
Jesus has set me free.
Say the witches in the so-called village.
The other way around.
The so-called witches in the village.
The so-called witches in the city.
They know the truth.
That there's no enchantment against me.
And no divination works against me.
Because I am in Christ.
And Christ is in God.
I dwell in the secret place of the Most High.
And I abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Say, it is well with my soul.
It is well with my soul.
I am purged.
I am cleansed.
Spirit.
Soul.
Body.
That means I'm totally healed.
Let's end it there.
Therefore, I rebuke every sickness out of your body in the name of Jesus.
As a sign that the word of God is working in you,
I curse that migraine. I command it to disappear permanently in the name of Jesus.
Every affliction in your system, it is resolved now in the name of Jesus.
Why? Because Christ is in you, and that's the hope of glory.
Father, we give you thanks.
Let's just give him thanks.
Give him thanks in your own words again.
Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, go.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
One more time.
This is mine.
Let's say that one more time.
This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of.
Now bless somebody on your left or your right. Turn around, bless somebody else. Turn around, one more person.
All right, the last person now. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of.
All right, cheer up, brethren.